Cleaning Nation, it is time to have some fun, soak up some wisdom, and to find everything that you are going to need to grow the cleaning company that you've always wanted. If you love the show, if your life is better as a member of Cleaning Nation, continue to show the love, share with your friends, subscribe on YouTube, iTunes, all that good stuff. We love to have you as a proud member of Cleaning Nation. Today, we are chatting with Laura Cuyava from Perfection Cleaning Services or Perfection Commercial Services. They've been serving Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio with commercial cleaning services for over 25 years. If you want to reach out to Laura and her team, you can get a hold of them at www.perfectioncommercialservicesinc.com. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight unless I get this out of my way. With 1 to 10, 10 being perfect and 1 being an absolute massacre, how'd I do on your last name?
1.
Oh, good gracious. I shouldn't have said massacre. Now I've hurt my own feelings. That really blew up in my face. Would you like to introduce yourself with a proper pronunciation of your name, my friend?
Absolutely. Laura Cuyava.
All right. So are you married or were you born with this name? Or how on God's green earth did you get all those vowels?
I married a gorgeous Polish guy.
Atta girl. What was your, not to get too personal, what was your maiden name? Tell me it was like a Smith or a Jones or something of that nature.
Miller.
Yes. I should almost said Miller. That's fantastic. So you went from very easy to pronounce to not so much. Congratulations, and I'm glad that you've got a gorgeous husband. So cool that you're still proud. So tell us a little bit how you got into the cleaning business.
Well, I graduated from high school and took a manufacturing job while I was going to school. And one of the things that I noticed as part of the manufacturing experience is they had a commercial cleaning service. Of course, recognizing several inefficiencies and the fact that as an employee working 10 and 12 hour shifts, that I was utilizing a unsanitary break room and restroom as part of my day. And so I thought, there has to be a better way. And so kind of observing the overall process, I then went to the controller, which her name was Linda Katz at the time, and presented a plan. And we implemented the plan about a year later. And so that's really how we got started. And that client is still with us today.
So you were not, you didn't own a cleaning business. You weren't a cleaner. You just saw something that made you angry about your own workspace. Sounds to me like you just went to them and said, these people are idiots. I am not an idiot. Why don't we work together and make this thing right? Is that a fair synopsis or did I butcher that as well?
Well, no, you did a great job. I was actually trying to be politically correct.
Well, this is the wrong place for that, sister. I don't even know how that sounds. So that's why I was confused. I had to restate it. I'm like, I don't understand what's happening here. Well, good for you. So go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going to say that's exactly how that happened. And so just to add to that whole story, one of the things that was very interesting, of course, I'm going to date myself. At that point in time, computers and internet weren't quite as accessible. And I had no idea what it was for the implementation of floor care. So we started the facility, and within a couple weeks, they were having a major tour from a customer. And I was asked to strip and wax 27,000 square feet of flooring. Of course, I said I could do it.
Sure.
Had no idea what that meant. Once I identified what that procedure was, my backup plan was I actually duct taped scrub pads to my feet.
Oh, good Lord.
I was in much better shape then and scrubbed out 27,000 square feet of flooring in preparation for that client. That allowed me to purchase my first set of equipment for floor care.
So you're saying that the scrubbers attached to your feet was not efficient, and for some reason you wanted to waste money on machines to do that sort of work?
Well, it was a necessary move after
after the hospital visit.
There was nothing left after. Yeah.
I love the attitude of strip and wax 27,000 square feet of floor. Absolutely happy to do it. Price, let me go find out what I just agreed to, and then I think I can do a better job getting your price. But I'm absolutely in. I'm getting it done. We'll work out the details later. Fantastic.
There you go.
So tell us about where your company's at now. You've been doing it 25 years. You started pre-internet. Tell us a little about your company now.
Well, we are, like you said in the introduction, we're in Michigan, Indiana, Ohio. We service medical schools, general office. We have hundreds of employees across three states. It's about our people first. It's always been about our people first. We're all about process improvements, looking at consolidated efforts, top of the line of equipment. We believe that we offer the best service for the price.
Fantastic. I love that was well said. It's almost like you've maybe said that before about your company. I wasn't the first person to ask you, I take it.
Well, it's really what we live and breathe every day. So that's an easy response.
We've been talking for like 5.5 minutes, and I am absolutely getting that vibe that this is your passion and what you live and breathe every day. And that is exactly the type of guest we love to have on the show. I am absolutely loving your passion. Would love to help you out. What's going on in your world today that I can hopefully bring you and Cleaning Nation some value?
We're in another benchmark of growth, identifying those challenges, financially, structurally, making sure that the customer experience remains the same in that growth, looking for process improvements, incorporating software, making sure that we retain the employee experience, and we're always looking at enhancing opportunity, for our employees at every level. Anything that you can offer in regard to that would be very helpful.
Well, if we had 6.5 days, I think I could address all of those issues, but seeing as we've got about 20 minutes, if you've got a specific thing you could, let's narrow it down so I can give you a little more value and go a little deeper as opposed to two sentences on each. Anything specific you've got, you're dealing with right now that I can, we can chat about?
Some additional, I guess, ideas as far as what other companies are doing for building service contracting employees? I mean, what are they doing to enhance their experience as far as employees?
Okay. Well, if it's okay, I'll twist that question a little bit. I don't do a ton of, hey, here's what other people are doing, because a lot of times what they're doing isn't right. One of the things that you said right off the bat that I wanted to highlight, because I think it's a perspective that is, I don't want to say unique, but it's certainly scarce in this industry, and it's the right perspective, which is employees really are the key to the operation. If we want to grow, if we want to be able to provide the service that we say, if we want basically everything, all the goals that you want from your company, a lot of people get customer focused. But that's really the secondary, that's really a result of a cause. The cause is good employees. So I love that you value your employees, and at the level that you're at, you understand it's not that it's not about getting customers and keeping them happy, but when it's just you and maybe, that first kind of 5 or 10 employees, you can kind of just handle it all yourself and you can kind of be the face of the company. And I shouldn't say you can afford to treat employees poorly or like commodities, but you won't get bit as quickly doing that. As you start getting, especially over that 30, 40 mark where you just like, you don't know everybody and you've kind of got layers of management, it really transitions into our true assets aren't our customer list, aren't our equipment, aren't the things that the bank would look at on the balance sheet. It's our employees and that culture and the value that they bring to our customers. So first of all, I just want to start with, you've got a good foundation. You're asking the right questions. And then I'm happy to talk a little bit about that. Second thing is, I would really focus on, it sounds like you're already doing this, I think you even said it, was the employee experience. So many people fall for the kind of short game of we'll pay more, or it doesn't matter how we treat people. If this guy doesn't show up, we'll get another guy to replace him. They're all commodities. They're all just a set of hands. Again, I've seen people do it, but it's a brutal way to run a business both internally and externally. So I think you've got a lot of things going already, and I would just encourage you to probably do some of the things that you're doing. The big foundational concept is to make sure that you're creating a community. As soon as we say that we're offering $10 an hour for an hour's worth of work, especially when that work is put your hand in this toilet, strip these floors, get on your knees and deal with these chemicals. The work that we do isn't glamorous. It's not a lot of fun. Quite frankly, stripped down, it's a lot of hard work for low pay. So a lot of people get that mistake of, I'm paying you, you'll do what I want. And if you've been in business for more than about 17 seconds, you realize that doesn't work. I found the best way to grow and the best way to kind of fend off that treating employees as commodities is to focus on creating a culture and offering them something that they can't get anywhere else. The good news is your competition has probably done a very poor job at that. It's the good folks at McDonald's or Pizza Hut or whatever terrible string of $10 an hour minimum wage type jobs that they've had have really been shut up, sit down, do your work, and here's your pay. It's very easy to distinguish ourselves by saying this is a community. You're going to be part of something special. You're going to be part of something different. You're going to be part of a team and a family that you can't get elsewhere. And the way that we do that is core values. So we want to make sure that we know what we believe and what's important to us as a company. We're very loud and proud about that, which is going to do two things. One, it's going to turn the people off that aren't a fit. For me, my core values for the last decade in all of my businesses have been have fun, make money, be real, and help out. Which when people that resonates with are so excited to be a part, they're like, I finally found my people, my home, where has this been all my life? And it's very hard to hire people away, even for more money. The other unanticipated benefit from that is the people that don't get that are professional and uptight and go, I would never, this having fun at work is ridiculous and be real. There's got to be a professional face. There's nothing wrong with that, but they don't show up. And if they do, they don't stick around long. So I know that's kind of a big answer to a fairly big question, but it starts with what you're doing, which is recognizing it's not dollars for hours because you can't make money at that. Your customers won't want to pay for that. And your employees aren't up for that. It's creating something of value outside of the pay that you give them, which is community. And at the foundation and base of that community is core values. So I talked real fast, real, real long. Questions, thoughts, comments?
No, I think you're on point. I mean, it sounds like you're just validating our value system. And really, it's been the foundation for everything. I've always said it doesn't matter whether you're cleaning toilets or building rockets. You need to be the best at what you do.
So that's a perfect example of a core value, right? That's not that everyone doesn't believe that to a degree, but if that's an underlying foundational belief of, hey, you've always got to strive for excellence. Doesn't matter if you're picking up trash or delivering babies or building a rocket, you've got to be the best. And without trying to put you on the spot, because we obviously haven't talked about this before, have you defined your company's core values?
Absolutely. We have a mission statement, and our value system is to always do the right thing. We make mistakes. We expect people to tell the truth and own up to those mistakes. And we'll be the first one to raise our hand and say, yep, you know, this is where we sucked today, but this is what we're going to do to make sure that experience is, you know, changes. And hopefully you don't experience that tomorrow. I mean, you know, the reality of it is that our product is people. And so there's automatically an error factor that goes along with that, just all of us as human beings. So I think if you just own that experience from beginning to end and you stay within that truth, you're protecting that relationship not only with your people, but with your clients.
So that's a perfect example. And I'll give a couple examples of what that would look like. If I was working with your company, I'd come in and you said, more for Cleaning Nation, and hopefully you'll get some value as well. If you said, gosh, say that again. It was just kind of telling the truth, being honest, being transparent when you do well, fine, when you do poorly, kind of owning up. Is that a fair, am I picking up what you're laying down?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay, so the good thing is there are going to be people that is a turnoff to. There are going to be employees that are like, you know what, if it's not hurting anyone, so what? You know, we just do a good enough job. And right, wrong, or indifferent, they're just going to believe differently. And if you're loud enough about that belief and that feeling and that ethos on your website, on the way you answer the phone, and your employees, of course, answer the phone, on your business cards, any kind of internal and external communication, if there's that consistent thread, you're naturally going to attract people that is attractive to and repel people that's repulsive to. But the big thing, and you said it kind of subtly and quickly, I want to pull it out and put some light on it, you've got to be consistent. If you tell your customers it's some sort of marketing ploy, and I'm not saying that that's what it is, but it's kind of when you show the dark side, it's easier to see the light side. There are people that say, well, I think integrity sounds really good, so let's use integrity. Or I think transparency, like you're talking about, Laura, is really good, so let's make that our marketing strategy. That's going to fail every time. It sounds like that is who you are just from the beginning. You saw something in your own break room. You said, this isn't right. We're paying these people to create this kind of a clean, safe, healthy environment, and they're not doing it, and that's wrong, and I want to fix it. It sounds like you weren't even looking for money at the beginning. You just want, you saw a right, or you saw a wrong that you want righted. Am I taking that too far? Is that the case?
No, you're on point.
So the beautiful thing is you never have to kind of, you know, it's, I forget who said it, but you, if you don't tell any lies, you don't have to remember, if you don't tell lies, you don't have to remember what you said and didn't say. So if that's just who you are, you don't have to put on your integrity hat or your transparency hat when you go to work. And when an employee screws something up and you find out and they're ready for you to bring down the hammer and you go, no, hey, we made a mistake. It wasn't intentional. Let's obviously we didn't do some training, and they kind of see that, wow, the transparency really does win. It's not just when the customer's looking, but that goes top to bottom. Managers pick that up from you. Mm-hmm. Sub managers pick that up from the managers, and then your rank and file that come in contact with your employees pick that up from the rest of the staff. So I love that. That's just who you are, and it's a natural thing. So you don't have to kind of say, "Well, in this circumstance, we're going to be transparent, but this one it costs money or isn't convenient, so we're not going to be. At home, I'm this way. At work, I'm that way. Under this circumstance, I'm a third way." It's great that you just kind of get that cohesive thought process and philosophy of the world.
One of the things that I get feedback from my staff is there's the freedom to be everything that they can be because of, managing within that truth. And it eliminates politics, it eliminates assumptions, it eliminates anxiety. So you're getting as much return out of those individuals by empowering them within that position.
Yeah, one of the stories I like to share that you may have heard, both Laura and Clean Nation, when I'm asked to speak, is Jack Welch is known. They call him Neutron Jack because he'd go through buildings, and he hated it, by the way, but he'd go through buildings, and they say the people would all be gone, but the buildings would be there, just like an atomic weapon, because he would just fire all the time. And one time an employee made a six-figure mistake within one of his divisions. It was a pretty substantial thing. And he was speaking about it with a reporter, and the reporter said, "Well, that guy's gone, right? How long is it going to take you to fire that guy?" And Jack said, no, you've got it all backwards. I would never fire that guy. I just spent $200,000 on his education. Why in God's green earth would I let him go?" So I love that you've kind of got that philosophy, Laura, of we're really investing in our people, and our people are going to reinvest in our customers, who are going to invest in us, as opposed to you screwed up, next. I'm not even going to learn your name till you've been here 3 months, kind of an attitude.
Absolutely.
Cool. Questions, comments, thoughts before we move to the lightning round, my new friend?
I don't think so.
All right. I know we've gone fast. We've covered a lot. I'm dying to get some of your feedback on, I know you've got after 25 years in this business, I'm sure there's a lot of value you can bring to Clean Nation. So I'm going to ask you three quick questions. I have no doubt you're going to give three amazing answers. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received, personal or professional?
Always do the right thing and value yourself and your service.
Gosh, that's two pieces of advice, and they're both fantastic, and I think they really dovetail nicely. Second question, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business that maybe we can learn from and save ourselves some of the same headaches?
Pricing, going in and again, I'm going to go back to not valuing the service at the level or the pricing structure behind it. Sometimes being afraid to really put the right number to the level of service just because you're afraid you're not truly valuing your level of expertise. That was a significant problem for me early within my career.
I'm so glad you said that, because I've asked that question hundreds of times, and I've probably gotten that answer more than a few. And the interesting thing is it comes from folks that have just been in the business a year or two. They're figuring that out. People that have been in, like Laura, decades. And I couldn't agree more. It's kind of this underlying philosophy that's in the cleaning business of margin is this bad, evil thing, and we're all trying to sneak or trick somebody or get away with something by getting good margin. And the reality is quite the opposite. Every good thing that you would like to bring into this world for yourself, your employees, your customers, the community at large, all is fueled by margin. If you have no margin, you're handicapped, you're crippled to be able to provide the service that you've given your word to provide. So thank you so much for reinforcing that, Laura. Final question. What's one idea, something simple, easily implementable, that Cleaning Nation can put into practice immediately that will improve their lives and or their business?
I would say never give up. And always do the right thing.
God, I'm loving talking with you because it's very clear that you've got a theme with how you work in terms of don't give up, do the right thing, be transparent, do good, be honest when it hurts, do good and be honest when it feels good. I love that. We've literally only been speaking for a little bit, and it's so clear that you own your core values, you're living them, and I can see why you've built the community that you've got. Laura, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know that Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, when you want to check out Laura's show notes page and get everything you need to grow your cleaning company, growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.